Any Corbett is a hard act to follow. First, a brief family note, if I may. I'm delighted to say that my younger son has come from Illinois to be with us today over there. His name is Barry. That's not a coincidence. And it occurs to me, as it may occur to some of you, that the man we are honoring today, and rightly so, might wonder what we are thinking. Don't you have anything better to do, I can hear him saying? Despite his impressive achievements, Barry was essentially a modest person. What he did from his own sense of being. He never asked for or expected admiration or recognition from others. He did what he did because it is what he did. Nevertheless, I'd say to him, even though he might wonder what we're doing here, no, Barry, we haven't anything better to do. Not today, not here, not now. This is your time to be remembered, to be honored, whether you like it or not. I knew Barry Corbett for some 50 years, or at least I thought I knew him. I wonder how many of you have discovered in the last few weeks and months wholly new information about Barry that you had never known before. I certainly have. His range was astonishing. On his feet or in a wheelchair, he traveled widely. His mind never ceased its explorations. Always, he was approaching the horizon. I met Barry at Dartmouth in 1954. Not long after our meeting, we went to climb in the Chuangunks, camping under the cliffs, just Barry and me, and a bottle of Old Crow. Our final climb was fairly severe, culminating in a serious overhang. It was my turn to lead. Nearing the top, I peeled off into outer space. It was a brief but spectacular flight. Barry held me, of course. He laughed. I don't think I laughed. And we resumed the climb. I thought, this is a man I can depend on. And so he was. We climbed and skied together for many years. We were both Exum guides in the Tetons at the time when he was married to my totally amazing sister, Muffy. Always he was the person who showed the way, never more so than the last years and months of his life. After that helicopter accident in 1968, Barry went through momentous changes requiring extraordinary courage and determination. He always resisted, as we know, being called heroic. He would say he was just doing what had to be done. But if heroism implies bravery in the face of extreme difficulty, and if it also implies strength of character and firmness of resolve, despite enduring pain, despite constraints of circumstance, well, that seems heroic enough to me. As a paraplegic, Barry transformed his condition into a way of inspiring, educating, and motivating others. Once he had been a mountain guide, later he became a guide of a different sort, but a guide nonetheless. People still look to him to show the way. His book, Options, first published in 1980, has gone through multiple printings. It offered and continues to offer hope and encouragement to many. Its title is revealing, Options. There are choices, Barry insisted, no matter who you are. Keep the faith. And his bully pulpit articles for New Mobility, a journal he had a distinction for a decade, were informative and inspirational, often very funny. Barry had a wonderful sense of humor, as we all know. They were literate. They were extraordinarily well written. They were also unfailingly honest and upfront, totally devoid of self-pity or sentimentality. That was Barry. And of course, we have to acknowledge The assistance of Barry's confidant and spiritual advisor, the famous yellow dog. Thank you, Paco. I'd like to think that throughout those years after the accidents, Barry's mountaineering experience may have been helpful. I knew how he thought as a climber. Given a choice, you take the most difficult route. Explore the unknown. Go for the West Ridge. Fate handed him a difficult route indeed, and he met the challenge. His spirit conceded nothing. Barry once wrote of, quote, disability culture, unquote, as the artistic and political expression of people who have one thing in common, and that one thing is we've all reinvented ourselves, end of quote. And so he did, even while remaining wholly himself. He traveled new trails into unknown regions. The summit was always there in the distance, and he never lost sight of it. Jenny and I visited Barry several times during the last weeks of his life. We felt privileged to be with him. We sensed that he was sustaining us when one might have expected just the reverse. He had chosen his ending, and he went toward it with such grace and good humor as I shall never forget. He maintained his ironic wit and self-deprecating sense of humor. There was much laughter, despite the dark shadow waiting at the door. Nearing the end, he showed extraordinary calm, even joy and radiance. He was poised, he was ready, no regrets, no complaints. Once again, he was showing the way. The last words should go to Barry, would say anything better than I ever could. Here's what he said to an audience at the Craig Hospital in June of 2001, and I quote, "With the benefit of hindsight, it's easy to see that there's no first life, no second life. There's this life, and it's everything we ever hoped for. In spite of all the change and difficulty, life doesn't change. Life is still complete and terrifying and drop-dead gorgeous, and I have just as big a piece of it as anyone else." Thank you, Barry.